call this meeting of the Emmitsburg Council to order, and I'd ask everyone to stand. We have with us, of course, is Pastor Barry Antle from the Emmitsburg Community Church. Pastor Antle will open up with a word of prayer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the many blessings, the many ways that you express your love towards us. I ask your blessing and favor on this meeting tonight, and may all things be done in a way that honors you and respects one another. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Again, good evening and welcome to our meeting. First on the agenda, have any members of council any pecuniary interests they wish to declare at this time? Seeing none, we'll certainly allow that to be entered into the minutes, and during the course of this meeting, if one finds himself in conflict, notification to the chair, and we certainly will have that entered therein. That brings us to the minutes of our previous meetings. Before you, you have the regular council meeting of October the 29th, November the 13th, and the special zoning meeting of council on November the 13th also. Councilor Pilon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that those three meetings be moved and that we adopt as written.
Is there a supporter for that motion? Councilor Davies supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. That brings us to the recognitions.
Yes, our first recognition of Ron Jaffu, years of service at the Emmitsburg Echo and contribution to the community.
Is Ron here?
He is.
Yeah.
In
his rightful place,
sir. Ron, on behalf of council and also on behalf of the residents of Emmitsburg, we just want to take this opportunity to say to you that for the years of service you have given not only to your employer, who was the Emmitsburg Echo, but also to this council, to this town, and the residents thereof. Well, we want to just say in a special way of making a presentation to you that we appreciate all you have did for those, I believe it is around 19 years. You came here in 95,
yeah.
And of course, we had to give you a green card to get in, but nonetheless, we appreciate all you have did in those many years, Ron, and we just want to show you a token of our appreciation. It's a ship, of course, and you can imagine what this ship is, but it says your ship has finally come in. but just go on. It says in appreciation of Ron Jaffu for his long time dedication to the town of Emmitsburg through his captivating photography and exemplary reporting of events in the community, with many thanks, Mayor Wayne Hurst and Council.
Thank you very much.
Recognition, Valerie Buckey, 25 years of devoted service as curator of the Park House Museum.
And Valerie, on behalf of the town, on behalf of council, certainly on behalf of all of the residents of this region and the surrounding area, for the outstanding service you have did to our community, we want to give you this token of our appreciation, and it's in recognition and appreciation of your 25 years of devoted service as curator of the Park House Museum, to the residents of the town of Emmitsburg. Your long service, your caring heart, and your dedicated life have been an inspiration to many. And so on behalf of all of us, we want to present this to you.
Thank you. long service award recognitions. The council would refer to consent item 21A, and I believe Carol Bendo will do the presentations.
Thank you, Brenda. We have four presentations this evening. Gina Servi from Treasury and Al Genia from Public Works at 25 years are not here this evening, but certainly we recognize for those years of service. We recognize them for those years of service and congratulate them. Paul Benito, our treasurer, is at 20 years. Carpenter, our IT manager, at 10 years.
With regards to those awards that have been just received, I entertain a motion from the council to receive those in the consent report. Councilor Davies? Been moved and supported by Councilor Sutton. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us to presentations. Item 10.1, Rural Broadband Update. Dave Carpenter, Manager, Information Technology. Don Ticknor, ExploreNet Corporation, and Dr. Todd Sands, Executive Director and CIO of CSCI. Council would refer to report item 21B.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. We thought it would be important to provide an update on a project that's been finally come to completion. It's been more than 2 years in the making, and that's the Rural Broadband Project. The project was sponsored by OMAFRA through a grant opportunity known as the Rural Connections Broadband Program. With respect to the Amherstburg project, there was a total approved project budget of more than $729,000. One-third was matched by OMAFRA in the amount of $243,000. There was quite a lengthy RFP process in order to ensure the proper vendor was selected and they met all the stringent requirements of the project. Through the project, it was important to partner with or make strategic partnerships. And through the experience of the University of Windsor Center for Smart Community and Innovation, it was a simple choice to match up with the university. ExploreNet was awarded the contract through their hardware, software installation, and service provisioning. So as I just mentioned, project management was conducted by Dr. Todd Sands, who's to my right. He's the executive director, chief information officer for the Center for Smart Community Innovation through the University of Windsor office. On my left, we have representing ExploreNet Communications, Don Ticknor. So this project is important because it allows all of our residents, or all might be an overstatement, most of our residents access to high speed. High speed internet is becoming a mainstay and very important, critical to our daily lives. It's important for residents to be able to access information such as the Amherstburg website, our online services that we provide the residents, but even more than that. I'm going to ask Todd Sands to take over the mic and follow through with the next portion of the presentation, Todd.
Thanks, Dave. Greetings, Mr. Mayor, councilors, members of administration, public. Bring you greetings from the University of Windsor, in particular from the Center for Smart Community Innovation, which has a mandate to support intelligent things in Windsor and Essex County. And when you think about Windsor and Essex County growing and the opportunity for growth, one of the things you quickly find is that the online world is touching all of us, everything that we do, from how we live, learn, work, play, invest, and visit. And it's not going away. So what we quickly realize is in order to establish growth and development in regions, to provide the best opportunity we can for residences, citizens, businesses, we want to take that opportunity to look at how our region, including Amherstburg and all the surrounding municipalities, attempt to attain 100% coverage area for what the government describes as high-speed connectivity. There are areas previously in Windsor and Essex County that if you didn't have this connectivity, you couldn't attract business. The university offers 200-plus courses online, and if you lived in a residence that didn't have that connectivity, you would have trouble registering. You would have trouble taking your courses. You would have trouble studying for your classes. College is no different. And the high school programs are now moving closer and closer to the use of online tools. The municipality itself is in that direction with its website. So we're fortunate to live in an area and to have partners that are willing to facilitate the type of connectivity that allow our region to grow and benefit. In 2011, this region was identified as one of the most intelligent communities in the world, not only for the connectivity capabilities, but a number of other initiatives that we all shared in and were very proud of. And nobody can really take that designation away from us. It's kind of like American Idol when you're in the top 10. But the list of those organizations or those communities that are currently listed, top 104 in the world. And it's interesting that in the year that we applied, there was 400 other communities that were attempting to meet those benchmarks. And you should all be proud that Windsor and Essex County has made it to the level that it has in that initiative. What's on the forefront is iCanada, Intelligent Nation, which is an initiative to establish 50 intelligent communities in Canada by the year 2015. It will go through the same process, the same activities, the same initiatives that this region went through in 2011. And we're already there. We have a footprint in the ground, and we can take advantage of that as a leader in this across Canada. And we've already worked in that area by co-authoring some national assessment tool resources and holding the first national conference, which brought the Premier of New Brunswick here to Windsor and Essex County to talk about the significance of iCanada to the world. One of the things we're trying to do is encourage the interaction with local websites and local initiatives to address the needs of youth, seniors, and immigrants in an electronic way, and to try to draw those resources locally so that people are more attracted to them in the local environment, so we don't lose that flavor of the importance of Windsor and Essex County as a whole as this electronic age comes on us. And the scope that we're talking about takes capabilities and delivers services and activities globally where twin cities communicate with one another electronically. Knowledge and resource sharing happens electronically. And you establish these capabilities all through the use of broadband capability and the technology. So So give yourself a pat on the back at succeeding in this initiative and being one of the leaders in Ontario for high-speed access. And I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Ticknor, who's going to tell us about the significance of ExploreNet's activities in this area.
Thank you, Todd, and Mr. Mayor and members of council. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and have this opportunity to describe some of the ExploreNet services that we have to offer. We are a rural broadband provider, so only in rural Canada, that's our focus. We've become the leading provider of rural broadband services through the launch of our 4G network, and we provide services across the country to 100% of the population in rural Canada. By two means, via fixed wireless and via satellite internet broadband. We're in six provinces with our fixed wireless tower structure and infrastructure, and nationally with our other satellites. In Ontario, we have over 400 towers. So we operate nationally. We have our channel partners, our retailers and dealers across the nation. We have over 800 authorized dealers and over 1,500 local installers, providing customer support and our network operations from our call centers in New Brunswick. And we have corporate offices as well in Markham, Ontario. We're delivering this service, as I mentioned, through fixed wireless and high-speed broadband satellite. And we need this hybrid approach in order to be able to get access to rural Canadians. So we use this best bit technology, we call it, so satellite and fixed wireless. Fixed wireless where there's higher population densities, and satellite technology where there's less people or there are obstructions in delivering the services in hard to reach locations, and that's where satellite would come into play. So our goal is to eliminate the digital divide in Canada. We want to ensure that everybody can have access to broadband no matter where they live across this land of ours. And we have developed a lot of new technologies for the country and invested a lot of money. To date, over $400 million we've invested, and we've committed another $400 million with the launch of two new satellites, one that launched in the fall of 2011 and another one that launched this summer. As well, we have been successful in public-private partnerships, over 40 of them to date across the country, starting originally with the City of Ottawa in 2007, and with a number of provincial governments as well, the province of New Brunswick, the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, and also with Broadband Canada. And in terms of this project, through OMAFRO, we've been successful with 15 different projects with municipalities across the province. So this particular slide just shows you where our fixed wireless footprint here is in the province of Ontario. So it covers everywhere from east to west, from the Quebec border, the Ottawa region, along the St. Lawrence, right through to Windsor and Essex and Amherstburg. In the Essex region, we have over 4,000 customers to date, and within the town of Amherstburg region, approximately 500. This project involved the building out of 18 4G fixed wireless towers. It's now part of our network. In the town of Amherstburg, there was one in Boblo Island that we launched with this new service, which covers Amherstburg as well. And also we have four adjacent towers on the fringes of the municipality, which provide coverage in the rural areas as well. Those being based out of River Kinard, McGregor, Carrow, and Colchester. So the 4G wireless network that we've launched is far and away much more powerful, robust, reliable, and has greater capacity than any service that we've ever had. It can deliver actually speeds of 40 megabits a second and can go up to 100, and the technology is such that we can then with software solutions go to the next level of LTE services as well. So it's a very robust network for now and for the future growth. The slide that you see now is our coverage throughout the county of Essex, and apologize for the way that looks up on the screen there. It's a different color on this in our presentation. But suffice to say that those are the tower locations that we have as ExploreNet across Essex County, with Boglow Island on the east side, and as you can see, all across. The coverage that we have from those towers is very significant, and it covers over 90% of the population in Essex County. The close-up that you see there is on the one on the left would be the municipality itself, from River Kennard south down to Lake Erie. The white areas that you see are areas that don't have coverage, and this is our best estimate. We use technology here that takes into account terrain, so there are some gaps that you'll see there. However, this is based on an actual height of the customer or business location of 18 feet. So if you were to actually go up higher than 18 feet, the signal is there. It covers about 30 kilometers from a tower. So signal is out there. It's just a matter of how terrain might affect you and your location. But, and then the close-up view on the right just gives you a close-up more or less of the town itself. And you can see our coverage pretty well gets up to, I believe it's Texas Road at the top end of the screen. So you can see the coverage. That's coming off of Boglow Island directly. There's the slide on your right. So it's excellent coverage. In terms of the service plans that we offer on our fixed wireless product, they range from a 1.5 megabit per second download speed to a 5 megabit per second download speed, with pricing that starts at $44.99 a month and goes up to the $89 level. In addition to that, we have a promotional offer that allows for 30 gigabits per second extra bandwidth that can be added on to any customer package. But I should say that the packages that we're offering in Essex County have a monthly bandwidth capacity that's greater than our national offer. It's something through the RFP negotiations, we increase the capacity on a monthly throughput basis for customers in Essex County. So just to go over this, we are now offering 4G technology, so it's state-of-the-art technology on a carrier-grade network. All services are professionally installed at the customer locations. We offer lifetime warranty on all the equipment. We have two call centers. Both of them are ExploreNet call centers, and they're located in Atlantic Canada, in Woodstock, New Brunswick, and in Fredericton as well. And we do offer a 30-day money-back guarantee to subscribers to try the service. If they're not 100% satisfied, they get their money back.
Thanks, Don. So at this point, we would like to entertain any questions, but I'd also like to mention that as part of the program, mailers did go out to all residential and commercial addresses, which provided information on the rural broadband project. We have received quite a few calls at Town Hall making inquiries on that, so that's very positive. But at this time, the floor is open to entertain any questions, and this is your opportunity.
For council, any comments of council, any questions to the presenters? Councilor Davies.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. This is very exciting, and certainly we know that we're one of the most intelligent communities in North America, so we're really happy to show it outright. But the bottom line is that, now, is this service in competition with the other services like Bell, Cogeco, those kinds of things, or is this a different?
No, this is a broadband service, so it's similar to the types of services offered by other companies, whether it be if you're in an area where you have a direct connection with a cable service or with a Bell telephone line, a DSL broadband connection. As I mentioned, we provide services in rural Canada, that's our marketplace, but with the signals that we offer, it does go into other areas, and where there is an overlap, then it's an option for customers to choose the appropriate one for their use.
In supplementary, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. And so, would this mean that the customers, if they went over, they would be closing the one account and changing their email addresses with this?
If they were specific to a provider, you know, in our case it would be explornet.com or explornet.ca as an email address, they would switch over from another provider for that. But in terms of other email addresses that are people are familiar with, like a Gmail or a Hotmail, those would remain the same.
Councilor Sutton, followed by Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Dave, just wanted to say thanks on behalf of the residents. I know you've worked hard for a number of years on getting this project moved forward. And, you know, the great news for all concerned is that there's 200 of our residents that didn't have broadband connections possible before that now do. And that was secured without any cost to the town itself. And so those are both great news items. And I know, you know, you alluded to before, and so did the gentleman from ExploreNet. There's still some areas that we need to look at in terms of providing that to them. And my hope is that we can work together to do that in a prompt fashion. But didn't want to let tonight go without saying thanks, because I know it's been a long process.
Anyone else? Yes, Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question regarding, I believe it was from you to this gentleman.
Don.
Thanks, baby. Like you said, that Amherstburg has got coverage now, right? Bobo's covered. Like, how far out will that signal go? Did you say it was 30 miles out?
30 kilometers.
Or 30 kilometers mm-hmm. out. So that's pretty well the whole community. That's fantastic. That's good. I just wanted to clarify that, because where I live, it was pretty rough for a while. So thank you.
I should just mention that
you should.
The fixed wireless product that I talked about as part of the program here does cover Amherstburg, and in terms of areas where the terrain is blocking the signal for some reason, then services through our company are also available direct via satellite. And that's available to everyone as well.
Any further questions? Councilor Tito.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. You keep talking about terrain. Like, what are you, like, we're flat. There's no terrain out here. Is there any other?
There's terrain, it's only flat terrain.
yeah, fairly flat. The large trees, for example, adjacent to a house, can block the signal if they're very close and you need to get up a little higher. So in terms of the mapping that I showed, that was designed with an 18-foot height where the radio could be mounted to receive the signal from our towers. The signal is out there running 30 kilometers out from the tower. So if you have sufficient height to get above any obstructions that might be there, then you would be able to pick up the signal for sure. So in many cases, someone might have an old TV antenna tower or something of that nature, gives you a little extra height, and that would look after the situation.
Thank you.
So Dave, just so everybody understands it, because this is very important, we have areas, for example, in Kingsbridge. Are they addressed? We've got areas in Amherst Point, just so that we understand it.
Mr. Mayor, what I'd like to do is actually pass that question over to Don. There's a process that's followed, and I think Don can comment in more detail than I could.
Sorry, I'm not too familiar with the exact location you mentioned, Mr. Mayor.
It's just south of Bobo, the Lakeshore area here.
Well, I should say that the from Bobo Island, the coverage emanating from our location there covers along the shoreline quite a ways, mm-hmm. both north and south, heading up towards the River Kennard area and down towards Malden, which is
yes.
south.
Yeah.
No. So shorelines are actually pretty good coverage there. Individuals will have to put in their exact location, and a site survey would be done by local installers to confirm that. But with the coverage coming from the island along the shoreline, it's excellent, because generally that's the view they need to have to get service. If they go behind it, there's a bank of trees usually there, and they're in a position where they can't get services from the tower that's inland. So.
And I think it's important to also mention that there are two types of services being offered here. So if the fixed 4G wireless service, in the event that that's not available, the satellite service is available.
That's very important to understand. So I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, Dave, on behalf of this council, and certainly to Dr. Sands and to you yourself, Don, and your corporation. That's been a long time coming. We have, as it's been mentioned, we still have some gaps, and we're going to work to make sure that those gaps are addressed, because it's important that everyone have access regardless of where you live. And so this certainly servicing Babu, and let's not forget, it took us a long time to get a provider that would do that very fact. And so with you coming forward, your corporation coming forward, we appreciate that ever so much, because it's this type of innovation that had been stated earlier that provides the opportunities and growth. So again, gentlemen, we thank you very much. With Councilor Pleasure, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move that the presentation and consent report, item 21B, be received.
It's been moved. Is there a supporter? Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
That brings us into reports, Recreation, Culture, and Parks, 11.1 Memorial Bench Program and Policy.
With regards to the report, Councilor Pilon.
Mayor, I'll move the report by Dean Gulliver, November 14th, and further that the Memorial Bench Program and Policy be approved.
Supported by Councilor Puget. Discussion this time? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 11.2, tender report for marquee sign and LED screen at United Communities Credit Union Complex.
With Council's pleasure, Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the report by Dean Culver, dated November 15, 2012, regarding the tender for the marquee sign and LED screen at the United Communities Credit Union Complex be received. And further, that Council award the tenders for the marquee sign and LED screen to Action Sign and Design.
And supported by Councilor DePasquale. Any discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Reports under Development Services, item 15.1, 380 Sandwich Street South, application for site plan approval, amending development agreement, Canadian Tire Store, and Council will notice that there has been revised site plans on your desk.
Any discussions with Council at this particular time? Rebecca, have you got anything you wish to add to Council relative to this item that we have dealt with previously?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Hurst. For Council's information this evening, there are two modifications to the site plan in front of you since the preparation of the agenda. The two items that have been modified are, first, the delineation of the tire recycling storage area, which is highlighted within the blue area behind the existing service center. The other addition on the site plan since the preparation of the council agenda are they're enclosed storage bins next to the two loading bays. And they're just enclosed storage containers.
Okay. Councilor Pilon.
One quick question, if I may, Mr. Mayor. So the tire recycling area is gone? It will not be there?
It will be located within the enclosed refuse area, and it will be within a stainless steel bin, and it will be locked.
Thank you. Good.
Any other questions? Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two questions. First, so we've got it designed so that there'll be clear access into the entrance of the building. And the other thing is are you going to be using a local native Carolinian type trees for the replacement trees?
I can respond to those questions if yes, that would be okay, Mayor Hurst. First, regarding the trees, one tree is to be removed as noted in the report. The suggested four trees for replacement are honey locust that were offered. Which is a native tree species. two along Pickering and two on Sandwich. The other question, I think, was whether the display areas would be specified and contained, and that was the intent of this process, is that the outdoor display of the merchandise be enclosed within those two areas identified on the site plan.
Thank you very much, and it's those types of discussion that gets us to where we're at today. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. I'll move that we receive the report that council approved the site plan for a parking lot reconfiguration to permit two outdoor display areas and the reconfiguration of two entrances on the Sandwich Street and Pickering Drive, and further that bylaw 2012-107 being a bylaw to authorize the signing of an amending development agreement with Canadian Tire Corporation Limited be taken as having been read three times, be finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Councillor Pilon. Further discussions? Councillor Pugin.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And, you know, I commend all of you for working so hard on this site plan agreement, but I did vote against the zoning based on the number of complaints that I have received and the fact that, you know, you do have a very successful business. And originally you were required to have 175 parking spots, and I think by reducing it to 143, it is really going, from what I witnessed based on complaints, that it's going to be detrimental to our to the residents that are trying to park there. And I saw what I perceived as safety issues, and you know, with so many people and that a few parking spots. And I know that at one time when I called our CAO and stated that I was concerned that the fire trucks couldn't get in the day that I was there. And I understood that at that time they said they wouldn't bite up the working fire from inside the building because of the paint and the solvents. But just a couple weeks after we changed the zoning, I had reports that the fire trucks were there, and indeed they were on the roof. So for these reasons, I'm going to be voting against the site plan agreement.
On the motion, Councillor Peel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think just about every one of those concerns that Councillor Pugin had mentioned, administration's already dealt with it and already come back to council saying that it's been worked out and everything's fine. Now, obviously, Councillor Pugin is entitled to her own opinion, but to actually state and say that they're unsafe, that's an unfair thing. And as far as I'd like to commend our administration, I think they worked hard with the proponent there at the Canadian Tire, because this store, I've never seen this store do so well. And with the new owner there, with Jeff, he's done an excellent job. And I applaud administration for working with him and getting it to where the point that we don't have to worry about it being safe. Because, you know, I mean, we all had some concerns, I think, okay? And we follow this plan here, it's going to work out well. And I'd like to thank you.
Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm really also very pleased to see the site plan and hear that some of the concerns that we did have been corrected. And I just want to say I was there on Black Sunday and or Black Friday or whatever that black was. And as crazy as it was in the store, everybody was having fun and cars were getting parked and cars were getting filled up and cars were driving away. I didn't see the issue of the parking. I would think that, in my view, as a business plan, that the fact that this place is so busy, it is an employer who is providing, with to our economy, they're providing increased employment. It is keeping our purchasers, our Amherstburg people in town, not driving into Windsor or Essex to get something, but they can get it at this very store. As I said, I was there at a very busy time, and I did not have trouble getting a parking space. I may not have gotten the one right outside the front door that, you know, would have been easy to get to, but I walked 5-6 slots further back. I was reasonably, and I was paying attention, because I knew that this was something that people have a concern about. So I think we should be very excited that it's so busy, not discouraged that it may down the road be so busy that we actually have purchasing power in our own town. So I think we have to be very careful how we view a successful business.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think this is a great example that the Planning Act works. We had the situation where there were some concerns from both the store owner in terms of what he could do or couldn't do. There were concerns by the residents. And our planners took that and applied the applicable legislation to that and found a solution. And the solution was that, you know, we probably are over and above what we've got in our own bylaws, need to take a look at those, especially as it revolves around the number of spaces required for service base. We've got much better sight lines and much better means of ingress and egress. Our fire chief has looked at the plan and deemed it to be totally safe in terms of public safety and fire safety. We've got the perfect areas for those displays outside that avoid the congestion moving in and out of the building. I think we've found a wonderful solution to the tire recycling issue. The bottom line is every test it meets or exceeds. And that's what we need to pin our decision upon. The fact that all applicable legislation has deemed this site plan to be appropriate and that there's no reason to not work with the proponent in order to let this come to its final step. It's that simple.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I commend you again, Jeff. I have a lot of respect for you, and I wish you the best of luck. I also voted against, for my own personal reasons. We all have our reasons, and I represent the constituents of Amherstburg, and I'm going to have to vote against it for my own reasons. Thank you.
Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Just a point of clarification through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, have the parking spaces been reduced right as of Sunday or as of last Friday, or are they still at 164?
Mayor Hirst, the parking spaces have not been reduced yet, no.
As a supplementary, so I just want to make sure that both Councillor Pialon and Councillor Davies are aware that what they saw was based on 164 parking spaces and not the reduction of 143. So that's probably why you thought it was sufficient at this time.
Right. Anyone else of council? Hearing none, on the motion that's before you, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried, and to administration, certainly to the owner of Canadian Tire. I think the important factor here is there is a process in place, and if we utilize that process through communication, collaboration, you know, one of the things that I always maintain, if you can get face to face, it gives you a better chance of seeing eye to eye. And so we were able to make this request. We were able to, of course, have this site plan approval put together with, of course, the amending development agreement. That in itself is going to keep this facility an attraction, not just for the people in Amherstburg, but the people that come through Amherstburg and want to stop and do business. And this is something what we're about, and we're going to continue to do it to the best of our ability so Amherstburg can always be, as I always like to say, we want to lead, we do not want to follow. So again, we appreciate the efforts of both parties. Thank you. Next item.
Item 15-2, removal of holding zone, 380 Sandwich Street South, part of Lot 3, Concession 1, being Part 1 on 12R608 and Part 1 on 12R679.
What's your pleasure, Councillor Pilon?
I move the report from Rebecca Ballinger that be received, and that Council approve the application from Dillon Consulting for the removal of the holding zone for property at Part Lot 3, Concession 1, being Part 1 on R12-608 and Part 1 on R12-679, municipally known as 380 Sandwich Street South, and further that bylaw 2012-108 being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52 as amended be taken as having read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized sign the same.
The supporter, Councillor Sutton, supports that motion. Further discussions at this time? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 15.3, development agreement, 322 Summer Street South, Windsor Family Credit Union.
Again, what's Councillor's pleasure relative to the development agreement at 322 Summer Street South? Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. I move the receipt of that report, that council approve the site plan agreement for 322 Sandwich Street South, and further that bylaw 2012-109, being a bylaw to authorize the signing of a development agreement, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Pilon supports that motion. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 15.4, removal of holding zone, 322 Sandwich Street South.
Again, what's your pleasure? Don't everybody speak at once. Councillor Davies.
Recommendation that the report by Lori Bratt, dated November 15th, 2012, regarding the removal of a holding zone for registered plan 4, lot 12, be received. The council approved the application for Decade Amherstburg Incorporated for the removal of the holding zone for property at registered plan 4, lot 12, and further that bylaw 2012-110, being a bylaw to amend the zoning bylaw 1999-52, as amended, be taken and having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
Is supported for that motion. Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussions on that issue? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is again carried unanimously.
If I could ask for Council's indulgence to bring forward reports 20.2 and 20.3. We do have Nicole Rubley and BJ Wilder here to assist in responding to the questions.
What's your pleasure, Councillor Sutton?
Also move that indulgence.
It's been moved by Councillor Sutton, supported by Councillor Pilon. Further discussions? All in favor?
You'll get me on that.
Opposed? It's carried.
20.2 bylaws regulate dogs in the town of Amherstburg.
Yep.
I'd just provide maybe an overview of the new bylaw. As council will recall, within the town's organizational review, one of the motions that was passed was that administration be directed to review and update all bylaws, and that direction that administration initiate a bylaw licensing review. So the review has been on my to-do list for some time, and here it is now. So in the new dog bylaw, we are currently using a very old, 14-year-old, outdated dog bylaw, and it was time for some updating. Just as a background, council will note that the municipalities are authorized authority under the Municipal Act to regulate dogs. And one of the reasons, or some of the reasons, that a municipality would pass a bylaw to regulate dogs would be to promote a safe community, to eliminate dogs running at large, to promote health and safety of its residents, nuisance control, and also to fund the program so that the animal control program is funded from the dog tag revenue as opposed to the general tax levy. Now, council will note that this bylaw does not include provisions for the dangerous dog as a standalone bylaw in 2009-57. Dog noises, including barking, will remain part of the noise bylaw. And further, the kennel provisions within the old bylaw are not in the new bylaw, as that will form a new kennel license bylaw that will come to the next meeting, and that will be seen more as a business license versus an extension of a dog tag. So as I noted, the old bylaw is 14 years old, and a summary of the highlights of the new bylaw is that the definitions were updated. They reflect more current regulations. The licensing process was set out in a more clear manner with regards to licensing your dog. The dog tag, we now provide the ability for someone to transfer the dog tag, say if their dog passes away and they get a new one. There's a new section for prohibited matters, which makes it much easier for provincial offenses for BJ. The dog tag fees remain the same. I reviewed and surveyed other municipalities, and it's very consistent. They're all different, but we're in line with what the other municipalities are charging. The difference that I recommended, though, is that the two different fees before April 30th and after has been changed, and instead a $10 late fee would be implemented. A definition of adequate shelter has been removed from the new dog bylaw. The mandate to prevent cruelty to animals lies with the SPCA, not with their bylaw enforcement officer. And one of the larger changes to the bylaw would be the number of permitted dogs. It's been increased in the new bylaw from 2 dogs to 3 dogs per residential dwelling unit. It was seen that increasing the dog numbers was more a reflection of today's society. I do note in my report that a notice was provided in the paper just as it's not required, this is public notice, but just as an ability to let the public know of the changes and ask for any comments or concerns, and I didn't receive any to date. And that's it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of council at this time? Councillor Puget, followed by Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And I agree with everything in the bylaw, except I do have a very serious concern regarding going from 2 dogs to allowing 3 dogs, and that's based on the fact that, we're talking about residential area, and we do have a noise bylaw, but if one dog barks, they all bark, and I believe that would, that really does make it more difficult regarding nuisance control, and I would really think that we should stay at 2 dogs instead of per household instead of going with the 3.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I read through everything, Brenda. Everything looks good. I'm just wondering, was there a legal did our legal get a chance to look at it, or do we normally do that? What's a practice like with a bylaw?
I did not ask our solicitor to review it. I did have a lot of input from Nicole Rubley, BJ Wilder, Rebecca Belanger, and Lori Bratt. I'm experienced in writing this bylaw, so I didn't feel the need to.
Yeah, I don't. I think it looks good in my eyes too. So sure. It's just a question I had to ask.
Councilor Pino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I had a couple issues. Actually, I was going to speak to the fact you going to 3 dogs. I think it's going to make it easier to control, because anybody wants 3 dogs, maybe not, to go get a kennel license. This way they can be tagged and properly identified. My real concern is, and is the
tell us
adequate,
about it,
well, yeah, I will. I love to tell you. Adequate shelter. I've seen areas where there's dogs tied up outside, and now you're telling me our bylaw officer can't deal with that? Is that correct? It's not in the bylaw?
It's been removed from the bylaw, so it's not the town's requirement to follow up on it, but BJ obviously would work closely with the OSPCA that if he had received a call or was noticed anything as such, he would call the OSPCA and communicate the information. I don't know if BJ can provide further comment to that.
Well, I think, in all fairness to Councillor Pino, we had an experience not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Dog in that position, and that's, I think, it's why he's asking that question. Because if it's removed, BJ, then, of course, it's not up to you whether you would do it or not. It's what the residents are concerned with.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we wouldn't ignore the reports of inadequate shelter for an animal and the potential for any situation involving animal cruelty. I would cater to the needs of that kind of complaint and go up and take a look for the OSPCA. But at the end of the day, they're enforcing provincial legislation as opposed to municipal legislation. The old regulation that was in effect was a definition of what adequate shelter was. And if an animal's not being provided with that criteria that we established, I would have to further cover our best interest by bringing USPCA in anyway to make sure the animal was okay. So 9 times out of 10, we were calling them in. Or short of that one time out of 10, we would send the dog to the vet ourselves. If the animal was being cruelly treated, they would be the ones taking over the case anyway. We will work on the behalf of the OSPCA diligently, responsibly, and notify them of any cases reported to us or any that we proactively see. That will never stop. It's not something we would ignore. They're the professionals in that kind of area, and we would leave the enforcement work to them.
Follow up, Councilor Peel?
So follow up. So basically what you're telling me, there won't be any change. You never enforced it before. You always called the agency?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, that's not true. There have been charges laid in the past for inadequate shelter. There have been seizures by myself and our police officers or our animal control officer for situations where there was inadequate shelter, which could be no water, no house for the dog to go in. It could be many things where we would physically take a dog. But all of these incidents would always be reported to them. There could be a history with this dog owner and the OSPCA that we don't know about. So we did enforce it. It was never the type of complaint that we didn't actively and quickly go out and look into. They are a high priority complaint, and they will remain a high priority complaint. But we're going to put the majority of the enforcement on the OSPCA through their provincial regulations.
Okay. That answer your question, okay?
Well, you answered it. I don't know if I'm totally happy with it, be honest with you, because now I think by taking it out of the bylaw, it actually takes the enforcement away from our police officers also, correct?
No, the police officers can enforce the provincial regulations at the OSPCA. The police officers can lay the same charges the OSPCA can lay. In the event myself was called to a situation and there was concern, I'd be notifying the police. They would have seizure powers. I would no longer have the seizure powers. There'd be no interruption in the care and the onlooking over the dog in question during the situation. It's not a situation where we would simply call the OSPCA and not be there for the animal. We would remain on site, just operating within our lawful authority.
Okay. Councillor Davies.
Thank you very much, Ashkay. I want to thank Brenda for a very well-written bylaw and the changes. And of course, I thought, well, going from 2 to 3 might be a concern as well, but I'm sure that anyone who has 2 dogs would be thinking very carefully about whether or not they wanted a 3rd dog. Those who have 3 dogs may have them would have had the 3rd dog anyway. This way we're going to be able to track them. The other thing I was very impressed with was your Toonie promotion, because that will allow us to get a lot of people licensed who otherwise wouldn't have. Oh, sorry, next report. I'll hold that comment till later. But I am pleased with what you've done, and I think that it will make it a smoother transition for dog owners and the town.
Just to clarify, the dog limit of 3, that already exists in our zoning bylaw, so it would just be the same.
Right. Councilor Pooja.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And just so I understand it, could I ask through you to BJ? BJ, what is the benefit of removing the safe, the home, like, to make sure that the dog has adequate shelter? What is the benefit of removing it from the bylaw?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's actually a really good question. Consistency in who's enforcing the regulations is the benefit. We were running into situations where myself or the police would lay a charge for an inadequate shelter situation, whereas the penalties involved that the OSPCA have available to them are much greater. And again, for lack of a better term, these are the professionals that deal with this, and they may have dealt with these dog owners in another municipality or in other cases we were unaware of. So it's kind of similar to when a person gets bit by a dog. You're always notifying the health unit so that they're the ones that deal with the Communicable Diseases Act, whereas the OSPCA is going to be dealing with any question of any animal cruelty. There's going to be less of a burden on the town resources from a bylaw perspective and from a cost perspective if we're only involved in the initial investigative stages. Anytime it's in question and the OSPCA is unavailable to me, I have an obligation under the Municipal Act to get that dog to a vet. We do incur significant costs when we do utilize that procedure. We will only be doing it in fewer cases now. We're going to be the eyes and ears for the OSPCA when these complaints are called in, so they're not unnecessarily driving out here. They're being notified any time we suspect cruel animal treatment.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a question in regard. Where is the line, BJ, between cruelty to animals and, like, the inadequate housing or inadequate feeding? Like, do you get some that are serious enough to go under the criminal code and get the police involved?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The line is, even the prior definition, it basically called for a structure that the dog could enter that had three walls, a roof, was 2 inches off the ground, the roof had to be impervious to water, and the door to the doghouse had to be the appropriate size, or it was just big enough for the dog to enter, and the dog had to be able to stand up and turn around. That was the structure that was required. They also had to have unimpeded access to food and water at all times. So the doghouse is there to protect from the elements and the heat or the cold, and the food has to be accessible. If I go out because the dog doesn't have any water, and I'm concerned with the dog's well-being as far as how long it's been without water, I'm sending it to the vet. But the OSPCA, they may see other signs within the dog that don't have the knowledge or training that say, oh, I'm seeing this dog's underdeveloped, or this dog's too thin for its breed. And so again, these are the pros. But our old definition did really limit us to the structure and access to food and water, and that was it. I wouldn't look at a dog and go, I think he's beating it, you know, or somebody's abusing it physically.
Just a short follow-up through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm thinking on that. It's a good explanation. It's just, I think I can support you on why you've done this, and it makes a lot of sense. Because, he can't handle all this stuff, and it's like he said, we can't train him for everything. It's just like every other job in any community. So I support you on that. I think I understand why, and it makes a lot of sense.
And he said for continuity or consistency, Councillor?
Yeah, I was going to say continuity of care is everything, having one primary to be. I just was wondering about, as far as it's concerned, what would their response time be, BJ, to a dog if you identified that there was some risks for the dog?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Their response time is actually pretty good, but we do work hand in hand. Sometimes they will be called before I even know about it and ask me to go and check on whether or not there's even a dog on the property and how quickly they do have to respond. I suspect their shift is no different than a lot of different jobs where, you know, they may have an anticipated workload for the day, and at any time it can escalate. So there has been no response times that have not been acceptable in my 5 years.
Thank you. And supplementary. And thank you. And with all this kind of downside to this bylaw, you know, it's also it's I think also going to be supportive of responsible dog ownership as well. So it's nice to see it in the succinct way as well for those on the majority of responsible dog owners. So thank you.
On the new bylaw for the regulate that would regulate dogs in our municipality, what's your pleasure? Councilor Pino.
Motion to receive the report and agree with her. And then further that bylaw 2012-104 being a bylaw to regulate dogs being taken as having been read three times or finally passed. And the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same too.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. We've had quite a bit of dialogue. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. And let me just say too, of course, the work that you have did, and it's nice to see that you've taken the initiative to make improvements, and as you stated, Brenda, this is a bylaw that's been sitting there for 14 years now. So these improvements will help bring that bylaw up so that it meets the needs of today. So that in itself is a very important factor. When we talk about the three dogs being allowed in a house, the thing we got to remember is that was always there. It's just that you had to have a kennel license at that particular time. But I am sure this is a way that will hopefully get more revenue from the licensing of the dog in our community, because if you go around at election time and you knock on them doors, and if we had a license for the dog that barked on the inside of those doors, we'd be sitting pretty good, I kid you not.
And the next report is 20.3, dog licensing compliance and enforcement strategy. And just let me read your report.
Yeah.
This works hand in hand with the new bylaw. One of the comments that I've heard is that there is an unequal field with respect to dog tags, that currently it's more of a voluntary program unless somebody is caught. That's not the intent, that's just the way it's been working. So this enforcement strategy is to work with the new bylaw. You'll see that our tag revenue is actually decreasing from 2010. So again, the current practice, I've been told by many, is seen as unfair, and this provides a more level playing field. It corrects the inequalities and achieves a stronger compliance rate. So the strategy is to be phased over 3 years. The first year, starting January 1st, the suggestion would be that the dog tag fees are a tag for toonie, so $2 tag. That's to encourage the public to tag their dog and see the benefits of it. The tags are due by expire April 30th, so the incentive to those who would purchase their tag from January 1st to April 30th would be that they would receive an additional 10% off the tags when they go back to their regular rate in 2014. We would advertise this campaign through flyers, information on the website, inserts, newspaper ads, and also considering the hiring of two summer students who would canvass from door to door, making the public aware of the tag for toonie, the benefits of licensing their dog, the requirements. The next phase would be January 1st, 2014 to December 31st, 2014. The dog tag rates would go back to their regular rate. Again, those who purchased their tag in the normal due date time would receive a 10% discount from that fee. Phase two is when you'd start to see the enforcement aspect of the strategy. So, as I noted that in the bylaw that was just approved, the two different rates have been eliminated. So it's the one rate and then a $10 late fee. It's very important for the strategy to work that council supports the $10 late fee and that it's consistently applied. I've worked through this process before in a previous position, and we always work with people. So if somebody says, I didn't buy a tag because I was in Florida, we would always take postage checks for people that indicated that they didn't have the money to purchase the tag. We took postage checks for people who are away, they could leave their checks. So we'll always work with the public, but it's been very important that we have council support in not waiving a $10 fee, that if you didn't buy your tag on time, there's a $10 late fee. And then again, that's the enforcement strategy part of phase two. So after May 1st, when the tags are due, that we would use that database that we created from the people, the dog owners who purchased their tag the year before for toonie, to ensure that those individuals had obtained their tag for that current each year. And again, animal control officer and bio enforcement officer would ensure that any complaints are cross-referenced and investigated to view the tracking of the dog licenses. Phase three is the final phase. There's no longer the one-time discount, so the fees are all as per the bylaw. And it's expected that the full implementation of the program will have been reached. I mentioned in my report that Stats Canada estimates that the dog population is equivalent to approximately 10% of the human census population. It's very difficult for me to anticipate the revenue that would be generated from this, but using that calculation, I would anticipate $31,000 to $52,000. Keeping in mind that what you will council will not see the same revenue next year when you have a tuity for a tag. The following year, which is the full enforcement year, you'll always see a higher amount of revenue because you're applying that $10 late fee. But what you want to see is the public and responsible dog owners getting their tags on time, and then you end up seeing a leveling out. Again, I have experience in a previous position and who had applied a similar strategy, and they have a 90% compliance rate with over $600,000 in annual revenue. And again, this report is prepared as a result of the organizational review direction. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
With council's pleasure, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move receive the report and the recommendations as listed.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. There's no further discussion. Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. It's something new. And you did mention it. Next year, the dog revenues are going to drop. Nobody's going to come in for a full price when they can get it for $2, correct? Well, so it's going to drop. You won't get hardly nothing next year. And my opinion is, if they didn't buy a dog tag before, they're not going to come in now. It's a great initiative, and I don't know if it'll work. I'm just, from being out on the farm and knowing, I've always been around dogs. But and another thing we'd have to be careful of is sending students to houses. What if one of them got bit by a dog? Like, I've got concerns on that. They have to be properly identified, obviously. But if they go to an area where there's a not necessarily a vicious dog, but a mean dog, like, we're liable. So I have issues with it. I don't know if you can talk to that or not.
Councilor Davis.
And that's a relevant concern. We politicians know all about vicious dogs and farmlets, so they come barking out. I do actually like the strategy, because I'm thinking that where you have such a poor rate of people wanting to do tags now, that if you charge the $2, you're going to get people registering when they wouldn't have registered before, knowing that they're actually going to have to. So I think it may be a drop in fee, but it may also be a higher level of recognition of what pets are there. So I think it's a good idea.
But Councilor Pilon spoke to it. What's the difference between a mean dog versus a vicious dog? Vicious dog bites you viciously, and a mean dog bites you meanly. That's about the only difference between the two.
That was an issue.
Just to make a comment, Councilor.
To speak, and then you could all got the same question. Councilor DePasquale, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I do agree with your strategy, Brenda. I sat on the dog pound committee for a bit, and I did pick up quite a few. Odds and ends from the different communities, and we were pretty far behind, but I think we're jumping ahead, and I think it's a great strategy. You get them more with honey than you do vinegar, and you're giving them a break the first year, you know. So it's great.
Go ahead, Greg.
I just wanted to add, I agree with you, Councillor Pilon. You do have to show a benefit to somebody as to why they would spend that money. Yes, it is a bylaw, and you have to comply with it. But for the non-dog owners, the general tax base is paying for animal control. Someone could argue that they didn't have a dog. Why are their taxes paying for animal control? On the other hand, the dog owner that does buy the tag, the benefit, as you'll note in my report, is that once you have the revenue that is paying for the animal control program, any additional revenue could be put in a reserve, for example, for something that would benefit a dog owner. So if I buy a tag and you tell me it's going to go to a reserve where eventually, perhaps if council chooses to have a dog park, my money's going to something that would benefit me. I'm not suggesting a dog park. I'm just saying, as an example.
Yeah. Councilor Sutton.
I think it's a worthwhile initiative. I mean, we've got to look at ways to get our non-tax revenues up, and certainly this is a good initiative, and it's not making it, shall I say, rough on the people, you know, to come in and get it for a toonie, and you're not going to have BJ out there chasing his tail, trying to get people to comply, you know, so let's throw him a bone for a year and make it $2. Get him a couple, get the compliance up, and we'll go from there, and I'll end my bad puns at that point and move on.
On the motion.
Stop barking.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
That was good. Thank you. That brings us back to reports under engineering and infrastructure. 16-1, Annisburg Water Plant and Distribution System, Standard of Care, Safe Drinking Water Act, 2012 update.
Councilor DePasquale.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the report by Loser Linga, dated October 22nd, regarding the Annisburg Wastewater Plant and Distribution System Standard of Care Safe Drinking Water Act, 2012, be received, and further council acknowledge the upcoming date of January 1st, 2013, as the date in which the Standard of Care Safe Drinking Water Act legislation comes into effect.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 16.2, Pila Municipal Drain Request for Drain Maintenance.
Councilor Sutton.
Move receipt of that report and the recommendation is listed.
Been moved to their supporter. Councilor Pila supports that motion. Further discussions? Not all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 16.3, Concrete Box Culvert Installation over the Albert McGee Drain at 6th Concession and South Side Road, tender results.
With council's pleasure, Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the report by Lou Zarlinga be received, and further that council accept the consulting engineer's recommendation to award the contract to the lowest bidder, being SLR Contracting Group, Inc., for the amount of $94,200 plus HST, for the concrete box culvert installation over the Albert McGee Drain at 6th Concession and South Side Road.
Supported by Councilor DePasquale. Further discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Carried unanimously.
Reports under CAO's office. Item 17.1, 2013 Budget Reporting Cycle. I believe Christina wants to speak to this.
Thank you. You have before you the dates for the budget. I just wanted to make an amendment responding to a conflict within a schedule. I'd like to change the Monday, January 28th meeting to Thursday, February 7th.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Really?
Go ahead, Councilor. Come on, please.
No, it's. I like the schedule as it was there. It left about 4 weeks in February between in the January and the first of February. If anybody wants to do a summer vacation or a winter vacation, now you're breaking that in half again. That's the only thing. I like there was a long break in there, and now we don't have it.
Yes, Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Just a point of clarification through you to Christina. Will it be at 6 p.m.?
This time will still remain the same.
Thank you.
I believe it was 12:30 to 6. So it's replacing January 28th.
Okay. I have 6 p.m.
Okay. Councilor Sutton.
Just wondering if we couldn't look at the Wednesday, February 20th date. I already have a conflict with that evening. Board meeting at work, and that's something I can't reschedule.
The county council?
It's the third Wednesday of the month, so I always have a board meeting that evening, and that's tough to get out of.
The next day, the third day, the 21st?
As of right now, that's fine, yeah.
So we're keeping January 28th, correct? No, it's the only one that matches my day off.
All the others were different days.
No, January 17th, February 7th, and February 21st.
So I'm sorry, it's January 17th.
February 7th and February.
And not the 28th.
Correct. And February 21st.
I thought, what's the one with change? Which one was changed now?
Two were changed.
Two were changed.
Yeah, just did all the changes today.
There's none on county council night?
No, none on county council night.
Okay. Okay. It'll probably be changed 10 more times before.
Don't be saying that.
Yeah. No, hopefully not.
Throw that in email tomorrow to us.
Yeah, so okay. Certainly will.
That's
for your information. Motion to receive that information. Councillor Davies, supported by Councillor Puget. All in favor? Carried.
Reports under Treasury, item 18.1, title loan application, Alan and Colleen Waters, and I believe there is an updated schedule provided to Council today.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Your Worship. I move that the report from Paul Bennett to Treasury regarding the title loan application of Alan and Colleen Waters be received, and further that bylaw number 2012-105 be in bylaw to raise money to aid in the construction of drainage works under the Tile Drainage Act be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and that mayor and the clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
They're supported for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Next report.
Brings us back under Legislative Services, 20.1 liquor license application, the seller, 235 Dalhousie, Apartment B.
It's your pleasure, Councilor Peel.
Motion to receive the report from Nicole Ribley and further the council, or excuse me, further the clerk be authorized to advise the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario of Council's support of the application.
They're supported for that motion. Councilor Puget supports that motion. Discussion? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I drove by, but I couldn't find where it was located.
It's an after-hours place, is it?
Yeah, no. It's the old Don Luch's.
Oh, Don Luch's.
Downstairs. Yeah,
Thank you.
Yeah. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Is carried.
That brings us down to item 20.4, Municipal Appointee, Essex Power Corporation Board of Directors. And I would just like to note that my report is incorrect, and it's actually for a four-year period. The advertisement was correct, though.
Yeah. Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try the first one. I'll move the report be received and Joe Levac be appointed.
We're supported for that motion. Councillor Pinault supports that motion. Further discussions? Councillor Davies.
Can I put a different name forward at this point in time?
No, not on this motion. This is a motion. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is lost. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that Bill Work's name be put forward for the vacancy.
It's a motion. Is there a supporter for that? Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor?
No.
Opposed? Motion is lost. It's going to be one of them nights.
Yep.
Councillor Davies.
May I speak to the discussion?
If we get a motion on the floor, you can speak to it.
Okay.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I nominate David Verda.
Supported by Councillor Puget. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is lost.
discussion.
Yeah, I think we need discussion.
Okay, well,
that's why, like, put forward why we were supporting.
Well,
that's
everybody
what
knows why you put forward, but if you want to have a discussion on it, motion and then start talking about it. That's what you do.
Okay.
Once it recognizes it as a motion. Councillor Davies.
Well, I'd like to make a motion to discuss the pros of the of some of the people we put forward the nominations. So
they're supportive for that motion. Councillor Sutton.
If I could just ask council to be cognizant that the resumes and personal information was provided in a confidential attachment, so you're more than welcome to indicate the advantages or disadvantages, but I would ask that you not specifically mention any personal information, like they went to this university or...
I've decided to support Bill Wark just because he was a committed counselor for our town. And I think that Bill just brings a different viewpoint than a lot of folks who would be otherwise nominated. And I think he's been committed for a long time. Not saying what he's been committed to, but I think that it would be worthy that we consider him after all his hard work as a councilor.
Councilor Sutton.
My decision, just to put Joe's name forward, was based solely on experience in the hydro field. And I think far and above the other candidates, worthy as there might be, that experience was certainly there. And so in terms of what I felt would best serve the residents, that's why I would like to support him.
Councillor Puzo.
Thank you, Mayor Hurston. Further to what Councillor Sutton stated, the reason I voted against Joe was just due to the fact that the town of Amherstburg hires him on a regular basis, and it could be perceived as a conflict because he, you know, definitely isn't an employee of the town many times when we're hiring him as a consultant.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I tend to agree with my right-handed counselor here. Mr. Levac is beyond, you know, he's great. He does do a lot of work for us. I thought maybe that might not be quite kosher. Bill Wark is an excellent candidate also. And David Rurda, I mean, they're all good. You got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Puja.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Since we seem to be at an impasse, and since it's such a very important...
why don't we wait till Deputy Mayor Sutherland back and
I would ask that we defer it.
That's all. You move to defer? Is that your motion?
Please.
Yeah, my motion to defer until...
Her motion is to defer your support.
Awesome.
Okay. Motion to defer. There's no discussion. All in favor? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Well, this one's easier. I'm going to give you some names.
Appointment
to Committee on the Environment.
Right in front of you, Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. I move receipt of that report and further that Dan Mitchell and Hugh Quinn be appointed to the Committee of the Environment on the following term, December 1st, 2012 to November 30th, 2014.
Is there a motion? Is there a supporter for that? Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 20.6, vacancies on various committees of council.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report by Brenda Percy, dated November 30th, 2012, regarding vacancies on various committees of council be appointed, for the administration to be directed to advertise for applicants for vacancies on the following committees: the AAAC Committee, Amherstburg Accessibility Committee, Heritage Committee, and Cohen Park Committee.
Supported by Councillor Puget. Discussions? Councillor Puget.
I was just going to ask if it was okay with the mover if we could add the Parks Committee to that also, because they did advertise and we weren't able to get anybody on that committee and we are still short.
Mm-hmm.
If I can ask Rick to comment, because I'm not familiar with that committee, if that's
Go ahead, Dean.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm actually not quite clear on what the question is. Is it whether we should be advertising?
You still short a member?
Yes. Yeah, we are short a member, yes.
Let's advertise.
So that'll be included. So, okay, what's the mover and supporter? On the motion, all in favor? Opposed, motion again is carried unanimously.
That brings us to consent reports, and it would be items C, D, and E. A and B were dealt with above.
Councillor Sutton, on the consent reports.
Move receipt as listed in items C, D, and E.
There is support for that motion. Councillor Pouget supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried.
Consent correspondence.
It's your pleasure, Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the correspondence be received, A, B, D, E, F, and G. I would just like to speak on, I have a question on number C.
Supported by Councillor Sutton. Discussions?
Yes, could I also, could we pull out B on the Agriculture Hall of Fame? Bandy's.
So,
if it's okay, amendment to the motion.
Okay, sure. Are there any other do you want to be pulled out before we have to make another amendment? Okay, so what we're doing is we're going to approve, what is it, A?
And D to G.
D, E, F, and G. On the motion for the consent correspondence, all in favor? Opposed, motion again is carried unanimously. We'll drop back now to B.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we, the town of Amherstburg, submit our membership fees to the board.
It's been moved. They're supported by Councilor Pouget. All in favor? And this is something we do every year.
Every year.
Yeah. Can I bring this to C? Whether or what?
Yeah, C.
C.
County Road 20 resurfacing.
Okay. Councilor Pouget.
Thank
is that
Mayor.
The one you wanted?
Yep. Yes, please. Mayor Hurst, I was just going to question that County Road 20, that is Sandwich Street, and that one's going to budget, correct, before any decision will be made on that one?
Yep. Okay. On C.
So,
Councilor Sutton.
Make a motion to defer the budget? To refer to budget. Yeah,
it's going to be in the budget. Yeah,
just refer it to.
But what you want to do is receive it here.
It says the same motion.
Well, to receive.
Yeah. Motion to receive, yeah. We haven't approved it yet. It'll be in our budget package. So, motion to receive.
Been moved, supported by Councillor Davies. Further discussion? All in favor? All in favor, motion is carried unanimously.
Consent other minutes, there's three sets of minutes.
A, B, and C, consent minutes. Councillor Sutton.
Move receipt.
The move, supported by Councillor Pinon. Any discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried.
Correspondence item 24-1, holiday greeting advertisement, Essex Free Press.
Councillor Sutton.
Move the correspondence be received.
Been moved. There is support for that. Councillor Pilon supports the motion. Discussion. Councillor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is this something that we do annually?
In the local papers.
So the Essex Free Press, why are we initiating this year?
It's before you, that's all.
Oh, okay.
My motion is just to receive it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
Unfinished business items?
Any unfinished business? Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I was just going to ask if we could add, I know if we've been asking for this for quite a while, but I just want to add it to the unfinished business for questions regarding the all-inclusive playground at the UCC Youth Center under old business. For unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. Just added to the list?
Yes,
you can do that.
Anything else under unfinished business? New business? We got the report of the special in camera.
Council met at 4:30 p.m. on November 26 for an in-camera meeting and discussed five items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A, Union Pay Equity Plan, was heard under Section 239(2)(d). As a result of that discussion, Bylaw 29.1 is before Council for consideration under the bylaws. Item B, 6101 County Road 20, heard under Section 239(2)(c). As a result of that discussion, the following recommendation is before Council. Number one, that the confidential in-camera report of Acting CAO Christina Poser DiPaolo regarding 6101 County Road 20 pertaining to a land acquisition disposition matter be received. And number two, that further that administration be directed to relay to the WECDSB that the town of Amherstburg has no interest in acquiring or leasing the property located at 6101 County Road 20, formerly known as St. Teresa Catholic Elementary School.
Councilor Sutton.
I'll move that recommendation.
It's been moved. Is there a supporter? Councilor Davies? Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item C, drainage issue heard under Section 239(2)(f). As a result of this discussion, the following motion is before Council. That the administrative recommendation in the confidential in-camera report from Acting CAO Christina Poser DiPaolo regarding litigation, potential litigation matter pertaining to a drainage issue be approved.
Councilor DePasquale.
I move that it be approved.
Been moved. Is there a supporter? Councilor Puget supports it. Discussions? Not all in favor, motion is carried.
And item D, General Chemical, heard under Section 239(2)(f). As a result of that discussion, the following motion is before Council. That the administrative recommendation in the confidential in-camera report by the town solicitor Edward Posliff regarding General Chemical be approved.
Councilor Davies, move it be approved. There's support for that. Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Further dialogue? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
And item E, a CAO update, heard under Section 239(2)(b) and 2(d), and there's nothing further to report on this item.
Okay. Next item, Councilor.
Notices of motion?
No notices of motion. Bylaws.
Bylaw 29.1, amending bylaw for agreement with IBEW Local 636.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you. Move that bylaw 2012-111 be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
Been moved, supported by Councilor DePasquale. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Amending user fee bylaw 2012-112, and Council will recall that this is just implementing the user fee that was approved at the last meeting for the banner program.
Okay. Councilor Pilon.
Move bylaw 2012-112, a bylaw to amend bylaw 2011-50, being a bylaw to permit the town to impose fees and charges, and being taken read three times and finally passed by the mayor clerk and be authorized to sign the same thereto.
Supported by Councilor Sutton. Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously, and that brings you to your next bylaw for the appointment of a provincial offenses officer.
Yes, bylaw 2012-115, appointment of a provincial offenses officer, and just for council information, this is simply a housekeeping matter.
Councilor Sutton.
Move that bylaw 2012-115, being a bylaw to appoint a provincial offenses officer for the town of Amherstburg, be read three times, finally and passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried.
It brings us to confirmatory bylaw 2012-113, all proceedings resolutions for the November 26th meeting.
What's the council's pleasure with the confirmatory bylaw? Councilor DePasquale.
Move the bylaw 2012-113 113, being the bylaws confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on November 26, 2012. Be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
Any support for that? Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item. Councillor Davies moves adjournment, supported by Councillor Spiegel. All in favor? Opposed? It's carried. Thank you. Let's take the call.